And we're live.
Yay.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Hashtag Event Icons. I'm your host, Sarah. And if you're new here, if this is your first episode, welcome. We're so excited that you're joining us. If you're joining us live, feel free to use the chat in any of the social media platforms that you're using. Ask us questions, interact. If you are watching the downloaded version or the repurposed version of this, we're still here to answer any of your questions. So definitely join the Event Icons community. You can do so by going to www.event-icons.com, where you can see all of our episodes, join the community, be a part of the Event Icon family, and never miss an episode in the future. So now that all that good stuff is out of the way, I'm super excited to have two amazing guests with me today from Host Events. Just a little background on Host. They focus on building community through top-notch virtual experiences. Hashtag anytime, anywhere. This is an awesome Boston-based company, and I'm so excited to have Katie and Amy joining us today.
Hey, it's time for another episode of Hashtag Event Icons, presented by Endless Events, the show where you get to ask the icons of the events industry anything. Just follow us on social media to ask questions. Our iconic guests will answer them live during the entire show. Before we get started, the more people we have watching, the better the conversation. So please help share hashtag event icons on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. Just tell your friends to watch live on any of our social media channels. Now, without any further delay, this is hashtag event icons.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Hi, ladies. So I love to just start off with asking how you got into the events industry. Like I said to you both before, it's always a different answer. So I'm curious how you guys entered into the world of events.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, I'll kick us off, Katie.
I started with a company called Del Frisco's a while back in New York City, worked quite a few of their wine events. That's kind of when I fell in love with the whole event planning process, even though I was just working them on the other side. It's also when I fell in love with the wine world. So I went to sommelier school kind of twofold, got my wine education. Then when I moved back to Boston, I got a job at MIT planning their events for, you know, incoming students and things like that. A lot of fun there. Went back to Del Frisco's, more wine education, more event planning, took some time off, found Host, luckily was working with them, you know, part-time bartending, doing their in-person events, and then pivoted with them through the pandemic. So been through the whole process with them. Super excited to share that with you all. It's been a wild ride. It's been a lot of fun, and we've been able to...
Just the casual sommelier MIT events world.
Career
path. I love it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
That is so awesome. No, I really am fascinated by the sommelier world, and it sounds like it kind of correlates perfectly with what Host does, is which we'll get into a little bit later, but that's awesome. Amy, how did you get into events?
So I don't know if I can do this as quickly as Katie, because I'm about 100 years older than her. So it goes way back. It goes way back before electricity. But no, I actually got started really in the restaurant industry. And then it kind of evolved for me. My mother opened an art gallery. So I used to work with her on the very well-known Newbury Street here in Boston, which kind of got me into the event planning in that sense for gallery openings, and then segued into the hotel world and was with them for a number of years right here in the Cambridge and Boston area. And then it kind of evolved from there for me, doing some of my own businesses through clients that had met me and requested me personally to do things for them, you know, at their homes, at some of their, you know, children's events, things of that nature. And so speed it up. I run into Host in 2018, and they kind of become my side hustle, another way for me to do events throughout the community here in Massachusetts and specifically in Boston. And then from there, I really just became very close with the co-founders, Michelle and Brian, and we developed a great working relationship. And then I kind of came in behind the scenes into the more of the day-to-day business side of things. And like Katie said, pivoted into this virtual space. Who knew? Who knew? If someone told me I was going to be bartending from home, 18 months ago, I would have shut them off at my bar, for goodness sake. So, you know, but it's worked out. It's worked out great.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, I love both of your stories. I think they're so interesting. And this was actually not planned at all. Just recently, I went to Boston for like the first time ever. So I feel like now I know what you're talking about. Newbury Street was visited there. So that was perfect. Yeah. And it also gets into our fun title when we were picking a title for this episode. So the one requirement was that Wicked had to be in there somewhere. So
absolutely.
Today we are talking about partnering with small businesses to create wicked awesome events. yes. When we talked about it, well, you both really talked about this amazing story that Host had of, you know, identifying this struggle initially with events and the, you know, whole pandemic turning our world upside down, and Host really being kind of the part of, you know, the solution and helping maybe the little guy that wasn't doing so well during this whole pandemic. So if you could speak a little bit to that, and kind of what, you know, this last year looked like for you all, that would be amazing.
Yeah, happy to do that. So, you know, if you speed back to March of 2020, you know, and go in the Wayback Machine for a minute, we just really didn't know what we were going to do anymore. I mean, it was no more in-person events. That was what we did. We connected, certified and insured bartenders to corporate clients that were hosting happy hours throughout the country, not just here in Boston. So fortunately for us, in a way, we were small. So it was three of us, Brian, Michelle, and myself, are able to be scrappy. If you know Boston, you know that we roll our sleeves up and we figure it out. So we kind of put our heads together and said, what are we going to do? We still had corporate clients that were trying to find a way to keep their teams together. And we didn't know how long it was going to last, right? I think, you know, we were like, oh, it's a couple weeks, maybe it's a month, and then, you know, speed it up. Here we are all the way into 2021. So, you know, for us, we are problem solvers. You know, what's the solution? What can we bring to our clients? What are they asking us for? What are they telling us they need? And we listened and we learned and we said, yeah, all right. We said, we can do this. We can do this. So we did our first virtual event in March. We started with mixology events. And then it evolved to adding trivia to our offerings. And then it's really just snowballed from there. And I think big for us, talking about that being a small business and being in the Boston community, another thing about Boston is we are a small city and we kind of all know one another. I mean, all of us who've been in the events business or in various contact with events, be it vendors or the servers, we all kind of know one another. There's 6 degrees of separation here. So for us, it was, let's stay with the people that we know and trust. And so a couple of smaller businesses that we worked with in person, it was natural for us to say to them, listen, we're going to do this. Do you want to do this with us? And what can we build together? And, you know, support one another. Let's figure this out. How are we going to do this? And we've done it and then some.
That's incredible. And probably one of my favorite things that's come from hosting this podcast, and especially when I took it over last year during the pandemic, was that seems to be a really common thread, I think, especially in the events community, because at the end of the day, the whole objective is bringing people together, right? And so I feel like when we do that for attendees, that's one thing. But because of the pandemic, we all kind of did it professionally as well. It really was this leaning on each other, seeing how we can help each other and bring them along with us in the journey. So I think you and Host are just the perfect example of that. I love that that's your first thing, rather than like, okay, how do we drive revenue? How do we get as much business as possible? It's no, wait, let's look at our community and see how we can help each other and play on each other's strengths. So I just think I always love stories like that. It makes my heart happy.
You know, I think one of the things too that's really a part of who we are is that we are really team and community focused. We're, you know, we really care about the people that were on our team to begin with. So we knew that our bartenders were going to struggle through this, and how do we support them? And we tried, you know, different things to support them financially when other areas of their industries weren't able to do it initially. And then, you know, from there, it was natural for me to reach out to someone like Katie, who I'm happy to say was one of the first people that I brought on to host in the in-person space. I'll never forget our coffee house meeting that day, that cold, windy day here in the Boston area. And we just really clicked. And so when we decided to grow this virtual experience platform, she was really one of the first people I thought, you know what? Our people loved her in person. She's very driven. She knows a lot of people in the industry in this area. Let's bring her on. And then again, community, right? She knows people that had small businesses here too. And she naturally said to us, hey, what about these guys? I think they could bring something cool to the table. And that's how we've partnered with someone like Bentwater Brewing Company, for example, through Katie's connection with them.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah, definitely those connections. I love the 6 degrees of separation. I feel like that's so true. And you can't discount that. So when you guys were getting into the virtual space, obviously that was a new territory for you. So what did that kind of learning curve look like? And what did some of your initial challenges kind of look like when you were navigating that space?
Oh, Katie. Well, listen, we're both super tech savvy if you've ever met us. Yes. So, yeah. So, you know, after learning how to turn the computer on, and then it was, you know, so right?
It's a true story. It's a true story. I think when I came on the internal side was kind of the conversation that Amy and I had when she reached out to me and said, hey, would you ever want to do the sales side of this? Was, you know, we don't know what this is going to look like, but it's picking up steam. Well, it picked up steam. I remember us being excited about a certain number of events. And then, you know, we're 5 times that at this point. So some of the things that the curveballs we've kind of run into in the beginning and now ironed out, we're just, you know, what do we want this to look like for our high-end clients and all of our clients? To be honest, we want this to be fun. We want the tech to be great. We want this to be a great experience, which, you know, virtually we didn't know who was going to work and who was going to resonate. Luckily we had a huge arsenal of staff and people that we knew that would be wonderful for this. And that brings me to one of the points that I wanted to make and Amy touched upon it a little bit, was we had so many industry folk that because of COVID and because of the industry was hit so hard during that, we wanted to really support them. So along with the bartenders that we had so many connections outside of that, that would bring such an amazing experience to host, and they have. And, you know, one of those people was my good friend, Adam Dennis, who I'd worked with for years and had just an outstanding ability to speak to whiskeys and scotches and spirits in general. And, you know, whiskey tasting to this day is one of our most popular events, if not the most popular. So it was just thinking a little outside the box of how we can get these experiences to resonate, you know, virtually. And it's our hosts. They drive the train. Like they are the face of the company and they're all outstanding. So that was really cool for us to kind of go from just Amy and I doing mixology and Brie. Mm-hmm. And then now we have, I think, 11 or 12. And then we have, you know, a couple of spirit sommeliers and you know, 5 wine sommeliers and a huge catalog of hosts now that are just making us who we are, honestly.
That's awesome. Definitely. Yeah. The name of the game, all the hosts.
So I think to just kind of circle up on that point, I think one of the biggest things for us, Sarah, at the beginning, when you were talking about what did you find as a challenge, is sometimes we had people that were amazing in person, but it was very hard for them to translate through a Zoom screen. And, you know, you have to learn to be monologuing and entertaining. And so everyone had to get a real crash course. And I used to say you have to do the TV news anchor smile, right? You got to sit there until people come on. And you have to learn very quickly how to be a camera presence, which a lot of people, you know, had to figure out. And how do you make this fun and engaging where people don't feel like they're just on yet again another virtual conference or webinar? Or, you know, how are you interacting with them and letting them interact with you just like we would if we were in person?
That is such a good point. That's true that it doesn't always, the energy, it's tough too, as someone as being the person that has to learn that, because you don't have that audience to feed back on. And it's kind of nerve wracking and you have this camera on you. It really is a lot. So definitely finding those right people that have the ability to kind of play off the crowd like that is huge. So when you were, you know, kind of looking into these virtual experiences, I know that you just talked about a big part of it is the engagement. Mm-hmm. And when I talked to you before too, you guys have had some pretty impressive partners and clients that you've worked with. So how have you kind of evolved to really step up and meet these clients' needs and make their events super engaging and, you know, kind of build that community for their corporate events?
So, Katie, do you want me to take that for a second and I'll toss it over to you? Okay. So I would say in the beginning, it was really listening to the client. So at first this was, hey, listen, can you just do it? And we're happy with just having you come on and get people together. And then as this went on, people got more savvy about what they wanted and we really listened. So they wanted an elevated experience. Can you are to our attendees? What are you sending? What does it look like? We have this high expectation. And then it came to everyone else got savvy about tech and said, okay, we want to see what the people are, their setups are like, you know, what's their audio sound like, what's their visual, what's their backgrounds. So our clients kind of drive us to elevate, you know, not just us internally, but they tell us what they want. And we're happy to meet that and then try to shoot past it. And I think Katie can really speak to where we came from at the beginning, where it was fine. It was fine if you had like one camera on you and they could hear you. And now it's, like I said, they want that professional, almost studio experience.
And I think, yes, to touch on that a little bit, that has sort of been a pivot in our virtual model too, because initially when we started the virtual space, we were thinking team bonding, team building. And the more we elevated our experience, you know, as a team and really brought the quality of the product, everything was up there. And these companies were seeing how amazing this looked and then said, you know what, this is going to be great client facing too. So let's really focus on doing this for clients and prospects. And I noticed a huge shift in, not a shift, but just a jump in what we were doing for clients and prospects. And this just became something that companies would come to us and say, you know, plan our whole quarter for us. You know, what do you have for events that will be great at an executive level? And we want to see great product. Plan my next 3 months. And we're seeing that now. We're seeing a lot of that. So that's been really cool. And I think no doubt that has to do with the elevation of the product and the hosts and all circle back to all the hosts, which I'll continue to do to give them all the love and the props. I just think they're so fabulous. And I think it all came together really, really well. I mean, we try to improve on everything every single week. We have conversations about what we can improve on. How can we make this experience better and better? You know, how can we add more experiences, new experiences? So I think it's something we work on all the time. We do a great job. Our team comes together really, really well with these ideas. And yeah, I think we're nailing it.
That's crucial.
Not to toot our own horn, but
no, it's awesome. I feel all of your energy. It's exciting. You guys definitely get me excited about it too. Your passion is very evident. And I think that you touched on something so important that I feel like everyone needs to be doing, especially going into this next year of just constant evolution. And, you know, there's a lot of looking forward and also a lot of reflecting of, okay, what did we not do so well? What can we improve on? I think those are really important conversations to be having. And clearly something that you all have done really well is just improving on the experience that's already out there. I feel like we're kind of falling into this thing with virtual where we're like kind of doing this like templatized thing where there's a webinar and there's this still virtual speaker and then breakout rooms and something endless is we're trying to get people, you know, involved in the strategy of their event as soon as possible because of that same reason of just like, no, let's think about it differently. Let's do something that's a little bit outside of the box, which is why I love what you guys do so much as well, is just because, you know, it doesn't have this platform heavy, you know, base. It's really about the people and about that experience and having some fun and getting some, you know, spirits involved and, you know, just really awesome little activations like that. So my question for you is going into this next year, how are you looking to evolve even further? And, you know, you pivoted so well. So what are you kind of looking at for this next year with the light at the end of the tunnel? Maybe, I don't want to jinx it, but maybe coming, and with in-person kind of making its return at the end of this year.
Yeah, so that's a great question, and it's definitely a hot topic. It's something that we're talking about regularly. We've been talking about it since the turn of 2021. So I think, again, this leans into the listening of our clients. So, you know, talking with them, when we're on those calls with them, what are they looking to do? You know, and this is going to be a little varied, Sarah, because some of our corporate clients have fully committed to remote. They know that they are not going to be going back in person. Some have decided that they're going to go back, but partially because, you know, now people have moved all over the country. And so these teams are still going to be connecting remotely. Maybe some will be back at headquarters, but not the full departments. And then you have the other companies that are like, yes, the doors have opened and we can come back. So to that point, and not to try to, you know, dance around your question, this is really where we decide, okay, what are they asking for? And what can we do to support that? And we will do that. So, you know, we're not going to make the decision for them. They're going to make the decision for us, and we're going to respond to that. And that's also in alignment with our vendors, with our partnerships. So a lot of our vendors, you know, are understanding that we're going to expect from them to also be ready to open the doors to the in-person experience as well. And maybe a little bit of that hybrid, you know, so maybe everyone's in the office and we're sending everything to that office, to that conference room for the wine tasting, which is something we've started to do. And now our sommelier is piped in virtually, which is great because now we have more access to people being able to come together without having to do all of that coordination and travel that so many companies have had to do in the past.
That is such a good point. I didn't even think about that really, of just the landscape, even though we, you know, talk about the light at the end of the tunnel being somewhat present, perhaps, hopefully, it's going to change, you know, the course of the way, just the foundation of companies and how they're structured for probably years to come. Like you said, there's been this mass exodus of the big cities. There's been people moving all over. So there's going to be this disjointment no matter what, you know, it looks like every company is different. I kind of forget that just because we've been remote since like 2015. So we've been doing this a while, but it is hard to think about other companies just like you all are kind of thinking about what's the next step. They're kind of going through a similar situation. So I love that you're showing that empathy and just listening to what they need and what their employees need, because it probably will change and will continue to change, you know, as we keep making progressions.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And just to say, Katie, I have to say, I'm being a little elusive because I don't want to show the whole host playbook to the other teams. I love it. I want to support the events industry. I want to give ideas. But if I know anything from how we did this in the beginning, we kind of got ahead of it before others. So I'm just saying, watch out, because we're about to be ahead of it again. And some people will follow behind, which is fine. And we'll be there to help you. We'll be there to help you out.
Yeah.
No, that's great.
I think to just a little bit, but to Amy's point, I think a lot of it has been mining information from our clients. And, you know, these clients that we're booking over and over and over with, the conversations have started. And, you know, what is this going to look like? We're going to have whatever it is that you're looking for. We'll make it happen. I think it's just mining the information from everybody, getting a feel for who is going to stay in the office, who wants to do something, you know, a little hybrid, be it, you know, on site eventually, or I did one virtually a few weeks ago where everybody was in the conference room and two people came on virtually and it worked perfectly. So we do have recipes where, you know, we're making these things work. And, you know, again, we'll pivot and we'll pivot strong.
That's incredible. And who doesn't love that? You know, just I think the constant evolution, it just makes me excited. And I love that you guys are staying ahead of it. And I'm excited to see what you have in store and what's to come. I know you can't share everything, so totally fine. But for event planners, what is one last tip that you would leave with them? You know, they're trying to figure out this next year. They're trying to think of ways to do things better. What's one piece of advice that you would want to leave them with? Whoever wants to start.
I'll go first. I think something that's helped me a lot over, you know, the past 9 months or so is just building authentic, genuine relationships with my clients and really planning their events as if it were for my team or for my family. You know, we've done private events for birthday parties and things like that. And just put yourself in their shoes and look at what they would want. And I think that authenticity really comes across with clients, you know, from wherever they're coming from. You develop relationships and then they trust you and they know you'll take care of their event the way that they want it done. They'll give you the details, you can handle it from there. And I think that's really served me well over the past 9-10 months or so. So that would be my advice.
Yeah, no, that's important too, because with those, you know, higher level client conversations, like I'm sure you're still talking about boots on the ground, tactical things, but it's fun to be a part of that strategy. And when both of you are thinking of ways to do it better, you're not just giving a list of product offerings like, okay, you could do option A, B, or C.
Right.
It's really this like high level strategy conversation, which I feel like people are kind of craving more. So I love that that's something that you guys really focus on, and creating those authentic partnerships is huge.
Yeah,
Amy, what is your piece of advice?
So I think my piece of advice to you is that you cannot be successful without being a risk taker. So none of us know what this is going to look like. We didn't know what this was going to look like back in March of 2020. So if you want to be successful, you need to really listen to what your client base is asking you for. Don't just try to come up with the idea for them. But also be creative and don't be afraid to take a risk, because none of us know what this landscape is going to look like. And this is our time to blaze a trail, because events have changed and they've changed forever for good and for maybe a little, you know, some nostalgia too. I mean, there's some things we're hoping to go back to, but I would say get ready to plan the future and be creative for people and keep them excited.
Oh, plan the future. I love that.
Yeah,
I feel like every episode I walk away with like a little new slogan or tidbit and plan the future. That's great. I love that. No, ladies, thank you so much. Again, your energy on this call is amazing. I can definitely feel it. For
thank
people
you.
That want to learn more about you and host and what the host could do for their event potentially, where can people find you?
So they can find us at www.hostevents.com. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram. Definitely hook us up on LinkedIn. Reach out to Katie and myself. We're happy to connect. We always love meeting new people and finding new relationships. So you can pretty much find us anywhere. So Katie, do you want to add to that?
Yes, I just do have one more thing. We did partner recently with someone with a really cool concept called Give to Get. So for a lot of this time, we were doing sort of the party experience, and that is so much fun. And everybody, who doesn't love that, right? But Give to Get is kind of giving back to the community here, where you can have the experience with your group, and you're giving back to different charities. So that is our social giving back social experience that you can kind of do with your company. So that's somebody I just wanted to kind of give a shout out to. They're our most recent partner, and you know, it's doing really well. So I just wanted to give them a shout out. You can find me at hostevents.com. On LinkedIn, and all the social channels. Katie at hostevents.com.
Awesome. No, I love that you shouted out. That sounds like another thing that has to do so much with community. So perfect full circle end to this episode.
Awesome.
Thank you again, ladies, for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
This was amazing to have
so
you on.
Fun.
Thank you too for everyone who tuned in, asked questions. Michael Jackson, who said great show on YouTube. Thank you for tuning in. That's awesome.
Cool.
Thank you everyone. You know where to find us, www.event-icons.com. And yeah, we'll see you guys on the next one.
Yeah.
Bye, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of Hashtag Event Icons. To catch all of the bonus content, resources mentioned, and an invite to our Facebook and LinkedIn groups, head to www.event-icons.com. Also, let us know what you thought about this week's episode, share your biggest takeaway, and just tag your social media posts with Hashtag Event Icons. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you again soon, right here on Hashtag Event Icons.